Welcome to the Lost Dog Podcast and the Trans-Pyrenees Race number 2, supported by our race partners, 200 Magazine, Physique, Kinesis, Komoot, Pedaled, and Tailfin.
How does that feel?
Yeah. It's the first moment.
I had it in my mind for quite a long time now, so... Yeah, I was on the first days, I was tracking Simone a lot. And then at some point I thought, okay, I'm more focusing on Moritz now.
Yeah, and sixth overall.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. Yeah, can't believe what my legs just did.
I've made it this far, and I will make it to the end before the cutoff. So I've proved to myself I can do this and go this far. But it's the other things that when you make mistakes, you've got to re-strategize and reset your plan and move forward again. Because we all make mistakes.
It took me a lot of energy to get to the Mediterranean Sea. And it's taking even more energy to get there, but the final point is this way, so I'm happy.
I'm Ian Broom, and this is the sixth of our episodes from the mountains. We have a winner in the women's race, and all of our top 10 finishers have now made it back to the finish line in St. John de Luz. But there is still plenty of time before the finishers' party and final cutoff. So here to talk us through the action are TPR veterans Jim Stewart and Rachel Batt. Hi Jim and Rach. Here we are again, day 6 of the Trans-Pyrenees race, second edition. We had our winner come in yesterday, and we've had some more victorious people come in today. And we have just a whole stream of riders starting to arrive back in St. John de Luz. But we have a top 10, most importantly. So should we have a quick chat about the order in which people have been coming in?
Following on from yesterday's top 3 finishers, like you say, we've had some more coming overnight. So Julien Massard finished fourth. And in the battle that we were sort of watching and hoping to see unfold, Max Prieur managed to pit Jana Kessenheim to fifth. But Jana, with an incredible race, really. She's comfortably won the women's race overall, but she's also finished sixth in the entire race, which it's a great result for her. And then Moritz Nederman came home in seventh, just after 7 o'clock this morning. And then, as you say, through the rest of the day, there's been a steady stream, really, of riders. I think we're nearly on 20 finishers now. I just need to check that. I think there's 19 or 20 who have finished. But the sort of battle for the top 10 was kind of finished by mid-afternoon today. So Benjamin Chadorn took 8th place. Marcus Zimmermann took 9th. And that has actually given him back-to-back top 10 finishes over the 2 editions of TPR, which I think is pretty impressive to not only do it once, but to come back and do it again. And then rounding off the top 10 was Yohani Saario, who not only had the tiniest handlebars in the world, but he also had a really unusual water bottle setup. Maybe that picture will be shared on the race media at some point. But he's just come off the back of finishing top 20 within TCR this summer as well. So that's a great result.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And we mentioned Jana. We've got some of the other women starting to get towards the finish line too. And one scratch, unfortunately. You need to tell us a little bit more about that, Rach.
Yeah, in the women's field, Simona Daz had a really strong race, and that's nearly at its end. She's completed the final parkour and she's on the run back in towards St. John de Luz. She'll take second place in the women's race, and she finishes only just outside of the top 20 overall. So that's a really great race from her. Sadly, we did see Nicola Ray scratch from the race due to neck pain. Yeah, it's a real shame because she was having a really strong race. So it was sad not to see her make it to the end. And she comes back next year, though she'll definitely be one to watch. But Nicola's loss is Lucy Hearn's gain. She's now riding for a third place finish in the women's GC, which is great. She's not long gone over the top of the Tourmalet with quite a big bunch of other riders. Although I think she looks like she's settled in for the night now. But because she's made it over that climb tonight, she's given herself a great chance to finish in time for the GC cutoff. And we know that's her big goal for this year, because she missed out on that last time round.
And pairs too. So we briefly bumped into Izzy and Innes again. We've kind of been patrolling them on the parkour back, it seems, overtaking, seeing them in different places. And they're still in the lead in the pairs race.
Yeah, that's right. So last night they stopped in Bagnères de Luchon. I don't think they stopped for very long, but they got there quite early and set off again very early this morning. And they're comfortably in the lead now. And it looks like, barring any sort of major mishap, they're going to comfortably win the pairs event this year. Leaving early from where they'd stayed last night really paid dividends, because it turned out that the second pair on the road, Stuart and Hugh, also stopped in the same town. But because Innes and Izzy left so early, they'd actually made it to the base of the Tourmalet before Stuart and Hugh left their hotel. So that pretty much set them up for their victory. In the third pair on the road, they look to be pretty close to the cusp of whether they'll make the finish GC or not. So it's going to be interesting to watch them. But they're currently just descending off the Col d'Aspin,
which is very beautiful, by the way. I think that's my favorite of all of the climbs, all of the cols. I mean, it helps when you're in a car, I suppose. Perhaps affects your thinking. I don't think I've asked you this over the last few days. Have you got a favorite climb from, I mean, you must have done most of these last time around, or a lot of them. Do you have a particular favorite?
Yeah, I think so. We didn't actually climb the Aspin. We went a slightly different way on the route last time. But two that stick out were the Soulor and Abisque. We did those on our final day, and we sort of went up those first thing in the morning. So that's where we got our sunrise, and it was, really incredible. And it looks like that's been the case today as well, looking at the weather and the photos on the social media.
Yeah, it's been really, really nice. And it's been kind of glorious after that first morning. The first morning was really, really wet. And then I think every day we've had sunshine pretty much, and it's been quite warm. No complaints on that side of things. You wanted to just talk briefly about another rider who's had a great race, Cap 66?
Yeah, Julien Gravel. So those of you that have followed the race on social media will probably be aware of him, because he's got a lovely story. In 2019, he completed TPR number one, and that was shortly after his grandfather had passed away. And during the race, he was adding a sticker of his grandfather to every col sign in his memory. Sadly, Julien's grandmother also passed away in 2020. So for this year's race, Julien had two targets. Firstly, he was going to check that the stickers of his grandfather were still on the col signs that he did in 2019. But secondly, he was going to add a sticker of his grandmother alongside his grandfather, which I just think is lovely. But it's a really touching story from the race. And in addition to that, it's great to see him ride so strongly, because he's finished in 17th place overall.
Yes, and we've been seeing some of those stickers as we've sort of driven past and visited all the different signs. Really lovely. And he's, had a great race. We saw him a couple of times as well. It's nice to catch up with him too on the road. Okay, I think that's probably covered everything. Well, not everything. I don't think it's possible to cover everything, but we've done our best. But again, there are some more scratches. I guess the longer the race goes on, the more likely we are to have scratches. So perhaps we can just go through those briefly.
Yeah, we've had a few scratches today. So we spoke about Nicola Ray earlier, Cap 69, but we've also had scratches from Leo Bridger, Cap 74, Graham Stewart, Cap 46, sorry, Thomas Williams, Cap 134, Kim Madsen, Cap 83, Evan Jones, Cap 40, Robin Lewandowski, Cap 3, and Marcin Mistal, who's Cap 85. And most of those have been due to either injury or illness, which clearly shows that the race is taking its toll on riders' health.
Yes, and earlier in the week, we'd sort of talked about James Loudon, who led for like the first two, maybe 3 days, and had gone off at blistering pace, had an amazing race up until he had to scratch too. And we heard that he actually was having a lot of knee pain and wasn't feeling well. And so that was why he ended up scratching. Okay, so our topic of the day is ailments and injuries. So we have bumped into lots of people today who are struggling with all kinds of aches and pains, which is, of course, normal. And I think we've seen riders kind of dropping off the pace a little bit, and obviously a few scratches too. So where should we start with ailments and injuries as a topic? I guess, how do you kind of cope with it? Surely it's something that you expect when you go into a race like this.
So I guess it's difficult to undertake an event like this without having something go a little awry on the race. And yeah, you sort of plan as best you can to try and avoid it, but you can't always do that. So we've had a common theme, particularly in TPR, with knee and Achilles tendon issues. And that's not really a surprise given the amount of climbing that there is on the race. So in comparison to a longer race like TCR, for example, those mountainous days might be interspersed with some flatter transition type days, which let your body recover a little bit. But that's just not possible on TPR because it's just relentlessly up and down the entire way. So you just don't get that opportunity to have a little rest or take an easier day. And yeah, I guess that generally these things creep up on you from the repetitive strain of pedaling a heavy bike up and down coals all the time, and potentially something that's not quite right with your bike or kit in terms of fits that you perhaps haven't noticed previously. But the sort of continual effort that you need to put in for this type of event is kind of exacerbating. So things that we've done in the past that we've sort of tried to use as ways to mitigate this happening to us. We've done a lot of riding where we ride with our bike fully laden and used all the kit that we intended to use for the race so that nothing is new or new to you. Sometimes we've used a brand new set of shorts, for example, but it's the same pair of shorts as ones we've trained in. But the main thing for us has been having a professional bike fit. And that's, I mean, I speak for both of us, but I'm sure Rich would agree that that's just been game changing, really. Anything that was previously a niggly injury or not really an injury, but just something that wasn't quite right that you could tell but didn't know what to do about it, that really corrected a lot of that. And it just lets you stand the best chance of doing these events without doing yourself harm that you can kind of get. But at the end of the day, if your body starts to kind of put up a fight against you, it's quite hard to do anything about it to reverse that process. And in something like TPR, where you're on the shorter time scale and everything's a bit tighter, you just don't have the scope to recover properly. And so you've just got to find ways to get through things as best you can. And that could be slightly tweaking position of your cleats, for example, or your saddle, or the way you're sitting on it, just to try and mix things up a little and just try and help you get through.
So what we haven't managed to avoid is saddle sores, which is another common cause for riders scratching. It's not actually something that's unique to ultra events. I mean, a lot of people suffer from saddle sores on even short rides, but it obviously, if you're doing it on multiple days back to back, then I mean your saddle sores obviously can just get worse and worse and worse, and without a break it can cause you to scratch. Nearly all people I know who don't cycle ask how we sit on a small saddle at all, let alone for hours. But I mean, when you think about it, even when you sit on a relatively comfy chair for hours, it gets uncomfortable eventually, and you're fidgety and you want to get up and you want to move around. But on these races, you can't do that. I mean, you can. And that's one of the beauties of riding in the mountains, is that you do get to get out the saddle quite a lot because hills lend themselves to that. But it does get uncomfortable eventually. Saddle sores are a really personal thing. They can occur for all sorts of reasons. Ill-fitting shorts, ill-fitting saddle, poor bike fit, foreign bodies in your shorts. So the tiniest little bit of grit or dirt, that goes along with hygiene, I guess. It's really difficult to avoid them on longer races like TPR. Even if everything's great at the start of the race and you've got kit dialed, you've got shorts you've always worn, you've got a saddle that you've used like forever in practice, like it's really hard to avoid them. just things like your bum gets tired of sitting in the saddle, so your pressure points hurt, the pad in your shorts compacts. If you're bivvying, then hygiene can really come into play because it's really difficult to wash your shorts. And maybe you're not used to riding in the heat, so heat has been a factor on this race. Heat, you get increased sweating and you can get chafing in places that you just didn't know you could chafe, if you like. Sorry if that's a bit graphic, but I find that my position on the bike changes a lot on these long races. So my core strength goes and I end up sort of slumped onto my arms. And so my position on the saddle changes and then you just get a bit sore. And in addressing saddle sores, I mean, there are ways of dealing with it. Lots of riders use chamois cream. I prefer not to. But a lot of people do, and that does assist in comfort. But if it's bad, then sometimes this just isn't going to be enough. And unfortunately, much as people like to speculate, there isn't a miracle cure. There's lots of things you can try and help. And if you go on ultra cycling social media, it's a very popular topic. It's full of lots of weird and wonderful ways to help riders push on, even with the worst saddle sores, but some of them are sensible and some of them not so much, and I wouldn't recommend all of them. Jim and I have got a slightly grim story about saddle sores, where the benefits of riding as a pair came into their own. I'm not going to describe it, but let's just say it's a lot easier to address the issue if you have someone to help rather than trying to apply dressings blind or in a mirror.
I think we just leave that to the imagination. Physical. I mean, as I've said before, I have not done an ultra distance event, but, you know, cycling a long way in a day even, you know, things just doing the same thing over and over again is going to get a bit painful at times if things aren't sail bright or, you know, for any old reason, but also just getting ill. So over the course of 4 or 5 days doing this kind of thing, it seems to me like just feeling poorly can happen quite easily.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. And I think sort of a combination of the physical exertion, but also a different diet contributes to that quite significantly. Usually in these races, you don't eat very well. You eat a lot of high sugar, high carbohydrate foods, not a lot of fruit and vegetables, generally speaking. Some people probably do that better than others. But we've certainly experienced in the past on races that you start to get mouth ulcers after a couple of days, and you know your skin might start to deteriorate, and just you can tell you're just not very well. And if you do have bad weather as well on top of that, then you can get quite seriously ill. I'd like to think in this particular event, because the weather's been relatively good for the majority, that maybe that's not happened as much to the riders. But I'm sure there'll be plenty of people out there that are struggling with various things as a consequence of just the cumulative effort. There was actually, I can't remember who it was, but somebody at TCR7 that we were chatting to at the start had suggested acclimatizing to eating junk food by doing so a couple of weeks before the race, which I found kind of mad, really, given that you're about to do that for the duration of the event as well. I'd try to minimize it as much as possible, but he seemed to think that was a great thing to do, and obviously had success.
Yes. I'm sure that if you're not actually in the process of like burning all that stuff off, it's maybe not the what do I know? I know nothing. So if you're really struggling and you've got a niggling ache or pain, if it's your knees, like it has been for lots of riders this year, or even if you're feeling ill, I guess it ties in a bit with what we were talking about yesterday, motivation, but like, how do you keep going when you've got like a consistent problem?
Yeah, it's really difficult. I think you kind of need to work out if it's just a niggle or if it's a bit more of a serious issue. So like with niggles and aches, like lots of riders say that in the first 3 to 5 days of racing, like they're the toughest, and making it through those days is the biggest test, I guess, because your body is adjusting to racing. No matter how well prepared you are, you don't normally ride like 7 days back to back to prepare for the race in such intensity in your preparation as you do when you're racing. So I think yeah, those first 3 to 5 days, if some riders, yeah, say if you get through those, then you'll get through the race. But I also think that the last couple of days can be really tough too. Certainly, I find that my subconscious starts telling my body that, oh, it's all nearly over. And so I think my body starts to relax and you go into recovery mode and all the things you've been holding at bay can really get to you. So again, like, you need to identify that those are just niggles and aches and you need to push on, like, not sort of, they're not serious, don't quit. So that's, you really don't want that in the race affecting you towards the end in particular. I mean, it's particularly bad in this race because there's still so much climbing at the end. But once things really do hurt and it's that, like, you've identified that they are quite serious or potentially serious, it can take a lot of discipline to make yourself stay on your bike, partly because you're not sure if you should. So it becomes really mentally draining. And if it doesn't improve or get worse, or it gets worse, then you do really have to be honest with yourself and consider your health and what you're risking. I mean, is it worth it? It is, in the end, only a race. So I guess when the answer is no, then scratching is the best option. And I'm sure that all of these people who've scratched have scratched for the right reason.
Yes. Yeah, it seems like people that are doing an event like this will go as far as they possibly can. Like, scratching is almost like a last resort. So yeah, when you know, I guess. Okay, what are we looking forward to overnight and tomorrow? There's still lots of people out on the parkour and there are others arriving in Saint-Jean-de-Luz as we speak, I imagine. So who and what have you got your eyes on?
So for us, I think the main story for the kind of remainder of the race is the mid-pack and the race to reach the GC cutoff tomorrow. So we said yesterday that we thought getting over the Tourmalet was probably where you needed to be if you wanted to make it in time for the race cutoff for GC. So riders that make it over the top of that and down to maybe Argelès-Gazost tonight, they sound a pretty good chance. But even then, they still got about 250, 260 kilometers to the finish and a hell of a lot of climbing still to go. So it's not going to be easy, even if you've made it that far. Last edition of this race, we started our final day from Argelès and we didn't reach the finish till around 2 a.m. The next day. So the cutoff for this year is midnight going into Friday morning. So it's going to be tight, I think, for riders that are kind of that sort of area. But that's what I'm sort of keen to keep an eye on is who's going to make it and who's not. So it looks like now there are a few riders that are making their way over the Col d'Aspin, and I think they are going to be the ones that are right on the cusp of whether they make it or not. If they push on and go over the Tourmalet now, tonight, then maybe they stand an outside chance, but they could be agonizingly close to the GC and just miss out.
When those last few people arrive around midnight for the cutoff point, that happens to be also the same time that the finishers party is happening, which I think wasn't the case last time.
No, it wasn't the case last time. I think the cutoff was very early hours of the morning. I can't remember which day it was, and then the party was much later on that night. So I think, yeah, it was great. I still had a really good time at the party, obviously. But it's really great when riders like roll into the finish of the race while the party's on, like while there's a big crowd of people around for their arrival. It's such a great feeling, like turning up and there just being a load of people who've been through the same as you, or not, like, but have been watching you and are really like into it and just clapping, and you get like a drink shoved into your hand and you get some food, and well, actually sometimes you don't get food, I mean, and you've got that sort of bleary just get a beer too soon, and then you're just like, oh, hang on a minute, I've just been riding to 300k for however many hours, so I don't need a beer first, I need food. But it's still an amazing feeling. I mean, you don't care, you're kind of high on the feeling, so the need for food, like for the first time in about 7 days, that need for food just subsides and you're just happy to be there. But yeah, it's really good when the race finishes at the party when there's loads of people around.
Fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Should be great. But we still have lots to talk about tomorrow. We have all of those things that we've just discussed are going to actually have happened. So I'll be speaking to you both for the last time in this year's TPR tomorrow. Until then.
Chat to you tomorrow.
Thank you to our race partners, 200 Magazine, Physique, Kinesis, Komoot, Pedaled, and Tailfin.